traffic, to-do lists, Christmas cards, trimming the tree, awkward family photos. It's a lot. And we haven't even unpacked our ugly sweaters. Something here is really missing. Let's rediscover a frightened young couple, an ancient promise, a cosmic conflict, a light in the darkness, as God enters human life to bring us hope and peace, joy and love in Jesus Christ. It's Christmas Revealed.
Good morning. Do you enjoy worshiping Jesus Christ in this Christmas season together? Isn't that fun?
Amen.
Let's give it up for people leading us in worship and thank God for them. Amen. That's good. I just want to take a moment and remember some of the awesome things that God is doing through the life of Sunrise Community Church. Just a couple of weeks ago, over 6,500 people got to walk right through the Christmas story, being reminded of the central nature of Jesus' birth to what Christmas is. And Juliana Law is back from the Ukraine, where she has moved to share the gospel and disciple young gals. Jason Chappelle continues to live in the Philippines, where he's sharing the gospel and ministering with young people. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed, but just on the other side of that wall, we kind of have a hall of faith where you can see a photo of just about all of our other missionaries serving around the world. And their ministries, as well as all our ministries here, really take place in part because of your faithfulness in giving. And as we're kind of now in the last couple of weeks of the year, I just want you to know that for Sunrise, as for many churches, this year-end period is really an important time in our life in terms of giving. So if perhaps you're a person who kind of thinks and prays about possibly making a year-end gift, I would ask you just to think specifically about Sunrise and maybe to pray, just asking God, how would you have me participate in the greater mission here at Sunrise? Whether it's just giving thanks for the growing preschool ministry that's going on, our children's ministry, or the fact that we have students and ministries on middle school campuses and high school campuses and a dynamic young and married group, and just walking with people through the different stages of adult life and connecting with people in moments of grief and then proclaiming God's word faithfully week in and week out. All of that is Sunrise. And I would just be so enormously grateful if God would lead you to make a special gift at the year end, just to say, hey, I love my church and I want to help us start strong in 2017. Well, we just have about a week left until Christmas. And if your household is anything like mine, there's no shortage of activity going on. And I know this can be a very hectic time. You might have young people in your home. Maybe you are a young person. You're still studying for final exams that are going to be coming up. Or maybe it's your work life. You're concerned about how the numbers are going to wrap up at the end of the year here. Or maybe you're preparing to fly across the country and you're going to be in some tough weather. Or maybe you're trying to prepare your heart for some interesting family dynamics with people coming your way. Or maybe you're going their way. With all that we have going on at Christmas time, I just thought maybe it would be good if we would kind of slow down and settle down and this morning just simply focus on all that God has done at Christmas. You know, he gave us a timeless gift. And any gift tells a lot about the giver. My wife Elise is a very generous giver. She comes from a family of great gift givers. And my wife gives me gifts I don't even know I need. Do you know what I mean? And often it's clothes. She says, just wear it. You'll like it. Trust me. My dad tends to give experiences as gifts. So river rafting in the summer, or maybe a basketball game, or going to a museum in the winter. We just went through a Secret Santa thing in the office here at Sunrise. My Secret Santa gave me a candy cane puzzle right there. Beginner level, 4 pieces. She said, it's perfect for you, Derek. Now, to some of us, it might look like a broken candy cane, but she assured me, that's a candy cane puzzle. Just try to put it together. There you go. I love it. In our sermon series, Christmas Revealed, we're giving away some stuff, and I think we've got an image of this. Look at those sweaters we gave away in the upper right. Those are the Lockwood boys. They're good sports right there. We gave away some elf slippers, some elf socks. You saw hipster nutcracker dolls. We even gave away a Santa pajama set and an elf pajama set. And my friend Giuseppe, who won that, he may or may not have won the or worn the elf pajama set greeting visitors at Bethlehem Village in the parking lot. You can ask him about that. Friends, the gift that God gave reveals a lot about him and a lot about us. And if you have a Bible with you, I want you to join me in turning to John chapter 1. Whether you are young or old, whether you are kind of thriving in your faith at this stage of your life, whether you're kind of maybe struggling, wrestling with your faith, maybe you'd even say, you know, I'm not really a person of faith at all. I'm just here because it's the season I've joined a family member or a friend. I'm glad you're here. But I want you to know there is a gift of love from God for you this Christmas. And the Gospel of John tells us that story. It begins this way in chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And behind that word is actually a Greek word called logos. And logos in Greek would refer to the communication of God, the revelation of God, a saying of God. It's as if God is saying, I want to communicate with you. Back in the first century, Greeks would have thought of it as this logical principle that kind of holds the universe together. They believed in some invisible, intelligent, integrating force. It's a little bit akin to what we would think of as, in our day and age, people refer to it, a higher power. Like, there's something out there. I just know that. The Greeks thought that as well. And so John is sort of using that language to say, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's God's very nature to communicate with us, to express, to reveal himself, to seek connection with us when we could not make connection with him. And we know ever so simply that a word is simply made up of letters. Jesus is described as the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Omega, the last letter in the Greek alphabet. He spells out what and who God is to us. So we can say that the Bible is the written word of God. You can read it. It's kind of black and white. But also Jesus is the living, incarnate, bodily word of God walking around on planet Earth in the first century. In John 14 and verse 9, Jesus said, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. He came to reveal who God is. Every other thing that God has ever done, every prophecy, every prophet, every account you've read in the Old Testament, all those things pale in comparison to what God was doing through Jesus Christ that very first Christmas. Well, Timothy Keller is a pastor and an author, and I appreciate him. He said, you know, if Jesus didn't come, the story of Christmas is just one more moral paradigm that's going to end up crushing you. He said, if Jesus didn't come, I wouldn't want to be anywhere around these Christmas stories that say we need to be sacrificing or we need to be humble or we need to be loving. But if Jesus Christ really did come to earth in the flesh, then you can actually know God. And then the Bible is really a 500-page autobiography from God so that we could know him. And then we could have something vastly more personal and intimate and life-changing than a mere philosophy or a mere religion. He says, what we understand at Christmas is all that God did to connect us to him. If the Son would come all this way into the earth to become a real person, don't you think that the Holy Spirit would do anything to make Jesus a real person in our own hearts today? Christmas, he says, is really an invitation to say, God's saying to us, look what I've done to come near to you. I don't want to remain just something you read about in a book, but a person that you experience. So my friends, as your pastor, one of the things that I long for you in this Christmas season, and maybe it would happen even starting right now in this moment, is just some stillness, a sense of stopping, of settling, of slowing down, to say, yeah, there's a lot that we do, but really, everything that needed to be done, that you could have an extraordinary Christmas, has already been done by Jesus Christ coming into this world. He did what we could never do. He came to us. He showed up on our terms, in a way, speaking our language, looking like us, so we would understand the depth and the breadth of the love of God. Well, there's more to God's gift. It says that there's something about his work. Verse 3 says, through him all things were made. And one of the things that we can do to understand the Bible is interpret one section of the Bible with another section of the Bible. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, all things have been created through him and for him. John says, without him nothing was made that has been made. It's a good reminder. Did you hear about these scientists who decided they would challenge God? A group of scientists approached God and said, God, we have progressed. We have been working really hard, and we now know how to create a man. God said, really? They said, oh yeah. In fact, we want to challenge you. We want you to create a man, and we're going to create a man and see who comes out better. God said, fine, you first. The scientist said, fine, just like you did. We're going to take some dirt. God says, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Everything that you see is made of God or comes from something that was made by God. In Genesis 1, God created everything with his word, and the word was Christ. A few weeks ago, I told you a story about back in September, a couple of my sons and I had the opportunity to hike up Half Dome in Yosemite. It was an idyllic experience. I mean, just something we relive and talk about. It was an incredible day for us. And getting out on the top of Half Dome and just looking over that beautiful valley, the verse that came to mind was John chapter 1 and verse 3. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. John goes on to say, in him was life, and that life was the light. What does it say? That life was the light of the church. Or that life was the light of social conservatives. It doesn't say that. It says that life was the light of all mankind. There's something about Christmas that expresses that there is a light in all people that was put there by God. There is the image of God in every person. Eternity has been written into the hearts of men and women. Friends, this makes every life you've ever encountered either stunningly sublime or absolutely tragic. The fact that Jesus came into this world says something about the nature of people. C.S. Lewis, he wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the Narnia Chronicles. He taught at Oxford. He said this. He said, remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship. Or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long, we are in some degree helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another. All friendship, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Do you catch it? The fact that Jesus came to earth was a rescue operation because people are destined for one place or another following this life. So something I would love for you as your pastor, something I long for in your awareness of daily life, beyond the hustle and bustle, beyond the physical of whoever you see in front of you, is a perspective of eternity, a perspective that Jesus really brings to us to say, that Algebra 2 teacher that drives me bananas has a soul. Believe it or not. That rude, impatient client that you're forced to deal with time and time again, she has a soul, unlikely as it may be. That guy that you kind of get crossways with around office politics time and time again, he is going to last forever somewhere. And maybe not where you think. People were made by God. And one day they're going to be judged by him. And we have an opportunity just as we interact to give a taste of heaven, a taste of God's glory to one another. John says that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus is not one of many lights. Jesus is the one true light. Jesus is the only one to come from heaven to earth so that heaven could come into our earthly experience and that so we could go because of faith in Christ from earth to heaven. He's the only one that makes that possible. And my friends, I know that Christmas sometimes is not easy. For some of us, it's actually a time of darkness and brokenness. And maybe your own feeling right now is a sense of being overwhelmed with all you have to cook and all you have to put together and all you have to buy and traveling you've got to do. Maybe there's darkness in your own heart. Maybe there's darkness in your own family. Maybe there's darkness in the sense of health information that's coming your way. Maybe there's been grief or loss. Maybe 2016 just wasn't your favorite year and you'd be just as soon to kind of get rid of it and get a brand new year in a few weeks. So maybe this verse is for you right now. Maybe today is a day for you to pray, Lord Jesus, you're the light of the world. And I need some of your light in my life. Because my life isn't throwing off all that much light. That's an okay thing to pray. It's a great thing to pray. John said he was in the world. Now, if you've heard this Christmas story, as probably so many of us have, the fact that we say he was in the world, that doesn't really stun us. But can I give you some context for the Greeks who might have heard this? That would have been absolutely surprising. And even for John's fellow Jews, you know, they had been forbidden to depict God in any way. There were no statues. There were no drawings. They were forbidden even of pronouncing God's name. They actually pulled the vowels out of God's name in Hebrew. And so if you transliterate that over to English, it would be YHWH. We sometimes pronounce that as Yahweh. They were forbidden to pronounce that because they didn't want to risk that someone would pronounce it inappropriately or disrespectfully. As we would say in our age, taking God's name in vain. They were so protective, so reverent towards God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2 says, the life appeared. We have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father has appeared to us. We were so careful, so respectful, and yet at Christmas, he came into the world. There's so much irony in this. It happened at this specific time and place. When Caesar Augustus thought he was ruling the world, the one who actually spoke galaxies and their stars into whirling space lay speechless in a cattle's feeding trough. When Quirinius was the governor of Syria, the star maker entrusted himself to the womb of an unwed teenage girl. And when Herod the Great was strutting his power across the scene, God the Logos needed a mother to feed him. He would grow up to say in Matthew 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He came to bring that light to all. So how do we respond to this message? You know, if the first century is any guy, there's at least a couple of options. People rejected him the first time around. Verse 11 says he came to that which was his own. And then we read what for me is one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. Jesus was a Jew. First century Jews had an understanding that the Messiah was coming. They knew about the covenant. They knew about the law. But it says they did not receive him. One way to respond to God's grace, whether that's coming directly from God or through other people, is to say, you know, I don't need that. I'm fine by myself. I'll do it on my own. You know, as much as we talk about heaven, someone asked me about a book called Heaven is for Real. And they said, you know what? Hell's for real too. And that's not a best-selling book. Someone has said, hell is the best God can do for some people because they so reject his grace. This week I read an old cemetery in Indiana. It has a tombstone that has the following epitaph. It's written there, pause, stranger. When you pass me by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me. Pretty grim, right? Beneath those convicting words, some passerby scratched additional ones. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. What we do with God's grace through Jesus Christ determines our destiny, friends. Verse 12 says, to all who did receive him, that's our option. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. John, the gospel writer, had a brother. His name was James, and they were called sons of thunder. I think they had some anger issues, okay? These were big, bad boys, and their reputation got ahead of them. They were kind of hotheads. But they got to know Jesus Christ, and their temperament was changed. Their behavior was changed. Their reputation was changed. And the fact that they changed is one of the items that helped Christianity go viral in the first century. Augustine said, the Son of God became a son of man that we might become sons and daughters of God. That's the gift of Christmas. Last year, there was a British supermarket that actually ran an ad for a job that they were seeking to fulfill. And that job at the supermarket was the Christmas lights untangler. Would anyone like to have someone like that in your life? Yeah? Not making this up. The ad said the main duty is manning and managing the Christmas lights untangling stand at this supermarket. Candidates should be able to untangle 10 feet of Christmas lights in less than 3 minutes. Now some of you think that's not so hard. Here's the second part of the job. And then you have to check the bulbs for signs of breakage, right? Can't just rip those things apart. Would you like a Christmas lights untangler in your life? Would that be good? How about a regular life untangler? Someone who can untangle the messes of our lives and check for breakage and replace and restore what's not working in our lives. Friends, that's Jesus Christ. And we're at a time of year where sometimes people begin to ask some of the deeper questions. And Christianity is a great contrast with any religion or philosophy. It's just this simple. You can think of it as do versus done. Every philosophy, every religion will tell you something you've got to do. Whether it's pray 5 times a day or make a pilgrimage or achieve some higher state of consciousness, the common ingredient for every religion is you've got to do something. And yet for Christianity, it's all about done. The ladder to heaven for Christianity is that Jesus came down, not that you or I have to go up. That he did everything that needed to be done, that we could know God and have a destiny with him. All we do is receive him by faith and live by gratitude. Friends, accepting Jesus Christ is a decision that no one can make for you. It's a decision that no one can prevent you from making. It's a decision that I made when I was 10 years old, and I have never regretted making that decision. And friends, I can think of no better way to celebrate Christmas than to have an opportunity for each one of us to accept Jesus Christ into our hearts. He is God's gift for us. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes for just a moment with me? And friend, as you hear my voice, I would encourage you to just pray in your own heart, in your own terms, something like this. Heavenly Father, I believe you exist, and I know that you are loving. I know that you're holy. I know that you're perfect. And I know that I have failed you in ways that people would know about, in ways that people would never know about. Things that are visible, things that are invisible, things that really have to do with my actions and words that could be kind of public, things that have to do with my attitude of heart that would be so private. I recognize that I'm a sinner. And I know that you brought Jesus to earth to kind of build a bridge between me and you. And I know that it was his death on the cross that paid the price for my sin. So today, Jesus, I just want to say, I'm turning away from my sin. I know that I have failed you. And I'm asking Jesus to forgive my sin, to become my Lord and Savior, to make me a new creation. Lord, thank you for adopting me just as I am. But I pray that you'd help me to grow, to be taught by your word and guided by your spirit and comforted by the presence of your people in my life. Thank you for this great gift of new life in Christ. And all God's people said, amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, I'd love to talk with you. I would encourage you to connect with one other person. Jesus is absolutely sincere. He has responded to a prayer like the prayer you just prayed so many times, and he changes people's lives from the inside out. Those connection cards that are in the seat back in front of you, you could grab one of those, put your contact information on it, and just draw a cross, turn that in, and my friends and I will connect with you just to encourage you, to give you a Bible and get you going on the road following Jesus Christ. Well, friends, there's one more dynamic in our passage today, and it has to do with a person named John the Baptist. He was a cousin of Jesus. The Bible says, John came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, and he knew it. He came only as a witness to the light. And my friends, that's all of us. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others. We don't have a light that's really our own, but there is a light that comes into us from God. Let that light shine, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Friends, there's another prayer here today that probably any one of us could pray. It's simply this: Lord, send me. Lord, I'm not the light, but I want to point to the light. I know enough about this world to know there is darkness everywhere, and you're the one light. So, Lord, send me. You might have no clue at all where that little prayer is going to take you. You may have no clue at all who that would land you in front of. You may have no clue at all what difficulties you might embrace in a sense of compassion to help others into the light. I want to encourage you to pray, Lord, send me, to somebody specific, to some place or some person where I could share a word of encouragement, to somebody that I could pray for, to someone I could love who's just far from you today. Lord, send me. Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness there was in the first centuries. Darkness there is, and darkness there will be. Parents are going to fight from time to time. Children are going to get sick. Friends are going to move away. Loved ones are going to... Life is going to go on, and it's going to have its set of hardship. But you know that darkness always yields to light? You come into a darkened room, you turn on the light switch, and light flees. At the speed of light, it happens every time. I hope you'll spend some time meditating on and memorizing our verse of the week. Friends, as your pastor, what I want you to remember is that God has given you an amazing gift. And it says so much about him. It's a gift, actually, that everybody needs. It's not a tacky, passing gift. It's a gift that you're going to appreciate more and more and more as you walk through this life. Jesus came to earth for you and me. He's done incredible work in this world, and his finest thing is just making people who are going to last forever, one place or another. And we can influence that by our relationships. Any of us can have that light in our lives as we open our lives to him. And any of us can pray, Lord, send me. You can tell a lot about a person by what they give. And God gave himself because he loves us that much. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for making love the crowning point of what your work is in this world. Father, I pray for my friends that they would know so deeply that they're loved. Thank you for Jesus. God, I pray that there would be stillness and quiet even in the midst of this season for us, that we would reflect and know who you are and who we are because of you. Father, as we move into parties and a little bit of school and maybe some more work and some travel and family connections, help us to go with that sense of, Lord, send me. Maybe it's for one conversation or one hug or one gesture, one thing beyond the norm that would communicate your love to other people, that folks would know that at Christmas, love came down. We're asking this to glorify your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.